Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Hello, stinkers. This one's an absolute belter because I'm hoovering with none other than charming fruit, Giles Brandreth. I know. First, though, I've got some really exciting news. I'm doing a hoovering live with at least three amazing guests this Sunday in 2 days on the 19th of July. It's at 8 p.m. UK time, but it's virtual. So hopefully loads of you can come. Links are in the podcast notes all over my social media. If you are following me, it's at the Hoovering Pod, or follow me at Jessica Fostercue. The guests are incredible. They'll all be listed online. I've kept it really cheap. There's a discount for most of my patrons. Anyway, I really hope I see you there. It's going to be wicked. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast generally. Food banks are really struggling right now. Any spare money that you've got, I reckon, first things first, give it to them. If you haven't got any money, but you have got spare time and you're not shielding or whatever, I know that lots of food banks, certainly around where I live in Southeast London, are looking for volunteers at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, you could do that with your time. It doesn't need to be with cash. If you've got even more spare cash, I would love it if you could financially support the podcast. On Acast Supporter now, you can do one-off helps of like a few quid or whatever. Or on patreon.com/thehooveringpod, you could become someone who regularly helps me with a small amount each month in exchange for very cool stuff like discount tickets to the live shows and exclusive content. Right. Let's get into this. Giles and I met in his beautiful garden. Of course, it was beautiful. It was, I am afraid, both a windy day and directly under a flight path. the dual nemesis of the podcast recorders. But my amazing editor, Emmett, has done a beautiful job of minimising those sounds. And also, it really does fade into the background after a little while. I do need to put a warning at the top of this podcast for anyone with sensitivities around mentions of diets at all, because Giles does mention a diet that he's on twice in this final edit of this podcast. I have taken out an enormous amount of chat about that, because there's enough of that toxic noise in the world telling people what they should eat, etc. But there's a few mentions of it left in, not because could care less what diet anyone's on, but that particular bit of language was buried in the middle of really gorgeous stories that I didn't want to lose. So you know, don't think anything's being pushed upon you or lauded or recommended or even given two shits about in terms of diets ever on this podcast. But I didn't want to cut the words themselves out because we'd have missed out, as you'll hear, we'd have missed out on some absolutely glorious revelations from amazing Giles if I'd cut them all out. So there's two Litlands in there. Sorry. Yeah, so we're in his garden. It is so beautiful. His grandkids come round at some point for their swimming lesson. Yes, there was a swimming pool. Of course there was. It's Giles. You'll join us just as I'd really sort of levelled up the flirting with his cat, Nala.
I have to tell you, Nala is... We can talk about Nala.
Yeah.
She's not universally friendly. So well done, you.
Oh, really?
You discussed that. Have we started yet?
Yes, I just started it. Sorry.
Oh, of course you can. No. Let me tell you about Nala.
Tell me about Nala the cat, the main...
Oh, this is where I'm trying to reach over there.
No, you, we get
microphone.
Our own. And you get... my microphone holders, one of them's broken, so...
Nala is the neighbour's cat. That side.
Right.
And we're speaking from my garden in southwest London. And about 3-4 years ago, my wife Michelle was sitting in the garden, and over the garden wall came Nala. And she came right up to her. And basically has not been away since. And of course, it's a big issue stealing the neighbour's cat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not really done, is it?
It's not completely on. Not done. But Nala would not go away. Nala would not leave. And my wife closed up the cat flaps. Oh, I ought to explain that we had just, our last cat had died, so there was a vacancy. And she sensed that there was a vacancy. She came over and staked her claim. And we didn't feed her. We didn't let her into the house. We tried to keep her at bay. But she would not go. We didn't know where she came from. She would not go away.
She'd just fallen in love with you. This is such a romantic story.
She'd fallen in love with my wife in a very, very big way. And then the day came, after about 6 months, we hadn't been feeding her, but she just kept coming in. And there was a ring on the doorbell. And there was somebody handing out a leaflet saying, "We have lost our cat." And they showed us, there was this photograph of Nala.
No.
And she was actually sitting in the sitting room. So I had to pretend to come out into the garden. So I think that's the cat that's lurking in our garden. Kicked the cat into the garden, picked it up and brought it back into the house. Said, "Is this your cat?" And they said, "Yes." So we took her back to the neighbours.
Yeah.
But she came immediately, the moment she could escape. They tried to lock her in for a couple of weeks, she came back to us. So we now have an arrangement that she is the neighbour's cat, but she lives with us.
Okay.
It's a very good arrangement, because they still pay the vet's bills.
But do you have to feed her? You must feed her now.
We feed her, we love her, she lives with us permanently.
But they pay the vet's bills.
Because they also have other cats and dogs.
Okay.
And I think... And they have small children. And I think it was the dogs and the small children that Nala found a little bit too much.
Fine.
Also, I fear she comes from a dysfunctional family because she lived next door with her own son.
Oh, no.
Who is a dead ringer for her.
And she's abandoned him to come and live with you, Giles.
Yeah.
Oh, so Nala.
We're homebreakers. Anyway, she is a Maine Coon and she is... one of the joys of our lives.
She's gorgeous.
I've had a cat all my life. Have you had cats all your life?
I had cats when I was growing up, and then I've not had cats as an adult. And yeah, my girlfriend's got two cats, one Maine Coon, and then one, I don't know, it's a really pretty black and white cat called Conrad. And near one of my neighbours, I don't know which, has a dead ringer for her cat, Conrad, to the point where we've named him Nonrad. But unlike Nala, we have the opposite problem where I'm forever begging for a cuddle from him and I've never got one. He scowls. The more love you show, the less.
Well, Nala's a wonderful lap cat.
Yes. Look.
She really is. She's perfect.
I love it when there's a cat on this podcast.
Very good. Now, tell us all about the podcast.
So,
tell us about you, Jess, why we're here, what we're here to do.
The people listening will probably, hopefully already know her. I'm a comedian, and I've got this podcast about eating, because comedians pretend to know about everything.
And what is the podcast called?
Hoovering.
Hoovering. That's because I kept getting these emails marked Hoovering, and I thought it's a code for something.
It's just slang for eating, isn't it? Eating things up.
Oh, as in hoovering things up. I should know that, because, of course, I do a podcast as well with my friend Susie Dent, and it's all about words and language.
Yeah.
And Hoover is one of the words we have touched on, because, of course, Hoover is a commercial name.
Exactly. It should be a vacuum cleaner.
Yeah, exactly.
It?
And you can hardly call your... Well, you could, I was going to say, hardly call your cat Hoover. You could call your cat Hoover. You could hardly call your podcast vacuum cleaning.
No, then people... I get enough people confused.
So it's all about hoovering up food. Lovely. Yes. And what food are we going to hoover up today?
So I brought round some apple that came in my fruit and veg box. I get one called Odd Box, where they rescue wonky veg or oversized or undersized fruit and veg that supermarkets have rejected, and it's very good. And I got two cheeses. I had a fun thing where I went into a deli in Ladywell, where I used to live in southeast London, and they've always had amazing cheese in there. And I went in and said, give me your two most exciting cheeses. And I thought the man really enjoyed the challenge. So we've got two. This is a roll right, and it's from Berkshire, and it's like a hard cheese. It's said close to a Manchego, as you'd get from a cheese made here. And then this one is Spenwood, and I just brought up a webpage. I think it's from the Midlands. It's a goat's cheese. It's softer. Yeah, so that's what I've got.
So shall I start on the hard one?
Yeah, start on the hard one here.
Thank you very much.
I felt very weird bringing a sharp knife round to your house. I didn't know if you'd have someone who'd pat me down, and I'd have to, immediately say,
we have our own sharp knives.
Yeah, I know, but then also
for travelling your
own. I feel very bad when you now, come to someone else's house.
Do I cut off the rind, or do I
would?
Well?
Yeah, so just because it looks so hard.
It looks like a small piece of what would you call this? Ivory. No, not ivory.
It's a bit. It's sort of discoloured at the edges. It looks like... do you remember at school where you'd have to try and... just wait to that amazing plane.
I have got... I've got a... we're on a plane day today.
Yeah.
not every day do the planes go over. One of the joys of lockdown was no planes at all.
Yeah, wasn't it lovely?
But I've got a an app that can tell you what the plane was. So not only do we... Well, we have planes, but if... Because this could extend the range of your podcast. People tune in, not just hoovering, but also flight radar.
Perfect.
It can tell you it's going to be landing at Heathrow in 1 minute.
Wow.
And what is it? Oh, gosh, it came from Delhi.
Oh, wow.
It departed 8 hours, 46 minutes ago from Delhi. It's arriving at London Heathrow in about 3 minutes. And there you are. It's a Boeing 787 Dreamliner.
Oh!
Yeah, I can even give you its registration number.
Will everybody on it need to be quarantining for 2 weeks?
This is a great app, you know.
That's very smart.
Tells what every plane is. You can upgrade your app.
Right.
And then they tell you what they're eating in first class. It's fantastic.
That would be great on the podcast. What's the name of the app, then?
It's called... Hold on.
Because, actually, I'm going to be recording more of these in gardens than ever before. So, something where I could just stop and then be told... Like, look in the app and be told.
Okay, and the joy is you just hold the app up into the sky and it shows you what the planes are going overhead.
But I want to know what they're eating on it. My friend Sally has an amazing rule where, because you know if you're on the moon, you're six times lighter or something. Because gravity's thinner. So, but she just has this really great rule where that means if you're on a plane and or in an airport, you can eat six times more. It's good, isn't it? Mm. It's a nice rule.
I've just been doing a kid's jokes book for Puffin.
You're so busy. And, you're not doing 100 projects.
And I was writing about the anti-gravity book I just read. And I said I couldn't put it down.
Very good. Very good.
Mm. Anyway.
What do you think of this cheese?
I made the mistake of eating a bit of apple first.
Okay.
And the skin was uninteresting.
Okay.
So let me just now. What is this cheese?
Rollright. I love the name.
Well, I feel it means something else, Rollright. I feel there's a paint or something called Rollright. No, there's a garden. You can get garden machinery called Rollright.
Can you?
Yes.
Mm. Well, it tastes nicer than garden machinery.
I was at school with a boy called Wicksteed and his family. I haven't thought about this guy in 65 years.
Can't wait to hear about Wicksteed. He sounds like a Dickensian.
His
urchin.
Family made garden equipment.
Right.
And I think they sold Rollright garden things that you flatten the lawn with.
Amazing.
Excuse me, listeners.
We're just going to spy on the inside of another plane using Charles's app.
Yeah, we're just going over. And look, I'll show you how brilliant it is. Hold on. This is going to go. Oh, come on, come on.
says it.
I just told you it's a version of Atlantis.
Bone 747. It's probably come back from New York.
Oh, that is funny.
Sorry, I beat the app.
You did. You beat the app. You're right. It was a Virgin Atlantic, and it was from New York. Well done.
Was it from New York? That was a guess.
When we're all well, they're not. They don't come from many other places.
Right.
When you're on a day like today, when we're on the flight path, we do get them every 2 minutes.
Right.
So if you find it too oppressive, we can't go indoors.
Oh, well, I quite like it. So, and I think I find with anything like that on a podcast, once it started happening, the first one people find annoying and then they get used to it.
Yeah. Okay, so here we are. Mm. And I'm eating these trees.
Yeah.
The roll ride trees from, where is it?
This one's from Berkshire.
From Berkshire. Hmm.
It's got a lot going on, hasn't it?
It has got quite a lot going on. Give me the cheese connoisseur speak of this.
Well, I'm not a cheese connoisseur. I just like cheese. It's
I like cheese too. It has got a lot going on.
It's intense. It's salty, almost crystally, I think.
Well, you have got the lingo.
Is it a bit?
It lingers in the mouth.
Yeah, it does. It's not overpowering. It's not. You know, sometimes you feel like cheese is going to burn the skin on your mouth. It's not strong in that way.
But is it nice?
I love it. You're not fast. Do you think it's a bit footy, a bit feety?
Oh, you're right. I mean,
it is a little bit feety, isn't it?
A little bit like old socks, you mean?
Mm, sorry.
Many years ago, everything that happened to me happened many years ago.
You didn't finish telling me about, was it Wainwright?
Wicksteed. I'll come back to him. 50 years ago, after I just graduated from university, I joined a commission set up by a wonderful man called Lord Longford.
Right.
Died a few years ago, well into his 90s. He had been a member of Clement Attlee's cabinet after the Second World War. He was later a member of Harold Wilson's government. He was a Christian socialist,
right,
a serious Catholic, and a social reformer, very interested in prison reform.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed, I'm still involved in the Longford Trust, which tries to help provide education for ex-offenders. Anyway, Lord Longford decided 50 years ago to investigate pornography, the scourge of pornography in our society. And he set up a committee to do this. And he'd met me at university because I invited him to speak in a debate when I was president of the union about prison reform. And he thought, oh, he's a bright young man.
Yeah.
So I'll have him on my pod. So he phoned me up one day and said, this is Lord Longford. I didn't believe him. But anyway, he said, this is Lord Longford. I'm setting up this committee to investigate pornography. And I need some, I've got a lot of old people. I've got a bishop, an archbishop, and a rabbi.
Sounds like the start of a joke, Charles.
Well, it felt like it, but it wasn't. You said, I've got a bishop, an archbishop, a rabbi. I need some young people. And I thought of you and Cliff Richard.
I love, this is your life.
And Cliff and I both said yes.
Great. Did you have to watch loads of porn?
Yes.
Yes, he did.
We did.
Were you paid to?
No. It was voluntary.
It was a moral duty.
It was a duty. And it was completely fascinating. But the point of the story is we can talk some more about the pornography we saw and the result of the work of this committee. We went over to Copenhagen.
Right.
To wreak the alien porn. I remember when we got to Copenhagen, the British ambassador met us at the airport and gave us each £5. A lot of money in those days.
Yeah.
Talking about 1970. To spend in the sort of strip joints and sleaze bars of Copenhagen. But the reason I mention it is that there was a magazine, we were sent lots of magazines to read, called Amigo. And Amigo was a magazine for foot fetishists.
Oh my gosh!
And
that's what this cheese has brought you round to.
Exactly.
Amigo, the magazine for foot perverts.
Exactly. Well,
amazing.
Were they perverts?
Or were basically, they perverts? I don't know. I think feet are pretty disgusting.
Well, it gave you toe by toe, step by step, heel by heel accounts of sexy feet. And there were pictures.
I knew this episode would have nothing to do with eating.
There were feet photographed in the most extraordinary positions. There were toes interlocking.
Oh, no!
There were people who could get their feet behind their ears.
Great.
And there were people who could get their feet into places that you wouldn't believe they could get their feet into.
Amazing.
And people who could do things with their toes that would surprise you. And at a speed that would impress you.
Oh, no! Anyway, oh, no.
The point is,
yeah.
There was also a section in it which described, I remember this vividly, the fragrance of feet. And this is what this cheese is taking me straight back to. So, you've heard of the famous novel by Marcel Proust, A la recherche du temps perdu. Are you familiar with all this?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. You won't have read it, nobody has.
No, I haven't read it.
It's never been read by anybody. It's a book that's been started by millions, no, not completed by anybody in the history of the world, even apparently the proofreaders.
This friend, 65 years ago, you haven't thought about him for 65 years.
And no, but the point is, like A la recherche du temps perdu, there is the moment in that famous novel, the iconic moment, where the character, or the narrator, tastes a Madeleine.
Oh, I love Madeleine.
And that takes him on a journey of memory.
Incredible.
And that is, in a sense, in the 20th century, the origin of the idea of food sending us on a kind of dream journey. It's the Madeleine in Proust. Cheese, this is done exactly, this cheese, Roll Right, oh, that's a good name actually for a raunchy cheese.
Roll Right. Roll Right.
It's rolled me right back to so, the pages of Amigo.
Less giving you a dream memory and more a nightmare memory.
Well, it's beginning to ground me. And the good thing about being introduced to pornography so young was twofold. One, I've seen everything.
Yeah.
Unshockable.
Yeah.
I've seen it all.
Mm.
But two, it did make me more tolerant in some ways of other people, you know. Because there were these people who, you know, got turned on by smelly feet.
It's true. You do realise how weird and wonderful the world is.
And yet, you see, we don't think it's weird and wonderful to be turned on by smelly cheese. We think that's acceptable.
Yeah.
You can sit around in a gentleman's club going, oh, lovely cheese, oh, yes, where's this children? But you're, as it were, you talk about these people being perverts.
I love the word pervert, and I use it very... I overuse it as a joke all the time, to the point where my four-year-old the other day called me a pervert.
Oh, no.
And he said, oh, no way, you pervert. And then he said once, oh, mummy, you're a maniac this week. And
I thought, well,
unfortunately, he's copying all the words.
Can I say social services will be round?
Just, he gives as good as he gets.
What's he called, this child?
Rudy.
Rudy's
he's
mum.
Accidentally very, very sexist, and I had a lot of fun with it. And this week he said, we were eating something pickled, something sour, gherkin or something. And he said, this is very tangy. Is this good for you? And I said, I think it is. I think it's good for your gut. And he went, well, I hope while you're eating, you're thinking about whether or not it's good for your womb. It's because he's learning about the body, but it was just the most sexist thing anybody's ever said to me.
If it's the most sexist thing anybody's ever said to you, you're in a happy position.
I know, no, it's not the most sexist thing. Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Before we move on to this cheese, I'm finding smellier, the softer cheese.
I haven't tried the softer cheese yet. I've enjoyed the Roll Right. I've enjoyed rolling the name Roll Right. I've enjoyed the trip down memory lane to the foot fetishes magazine Amigo, which I believe I'd like to know, maybe do you have correspondence, you can get in touch if the magazine is still going. Get in touch with Hoovering.
Get in touch with the Hoovering. Get in touch with the podcast,
and
Giles would like a copy for his library. Why not? There's probably collector's editions now.
It must be said, in fairness, when I'd done all this, I had some revolting material in the house, and Michelle, my wife, quite rightly, 50 years ago, made me get rid of it all. She said, it's revolting, it's horrible. And it was very interesting. At the time, Lord Long was much mocked about this, and he was nicknamed Lord Porn, and he was considered a sort of figure of fun.
Yeah.
But in fact, in retrospect, he was obviously, he was concerned that pornography was dehumanizing people.
Yeah.
And that the people who were taking part in it were, they were all apparently willing people, but when actually we came to meet them, how willing were they? How coerced were they by fellow?
What were their situation financially?
Exactly. The whole thing was much more complicated, and Anyway, it was a fascinating experience. And Copenhagen was really hilarious because he was an old man. I mean, he seemed to be incredible. I was 22 or something. And he was about 72, so he seemed to me to be older than God. And we went to the... So I went with a 72-year-old Catholic peer, Earl of Longford. We sat together at the sex shops in Copenhagen. And that was the live intercourse taking place. And these were very small cabaret rooms. You've been to Edinburgh, you know what it's like.
Yes.
So it's like being in a small gilded balloon, but in one of the cheaper rooms.
Yeah. The wee room or the... Yeah,
exactly. Turret. So you're absolutely
The ones that I've done shows in.
So you're sitting there, 60 people, and there at the front are these two people who take the live intercourse.
Mm.
And I remember sitting next to me, where does one look? You know, where do you
look?
Yeah, awkward. There was lots of press.
Right.
And then this girl arrived with a whip. And I remember Lord Longford didn't have any hair. He was bald.
Oh, no.
And she began curling her whip around the top of his
head. Oh, no!
And he got up and left, saying, I thought it was a very good line, really. I've seen enough for science, more than enough for pleasure. Made his excuses and left. Because, of course, if she'd landed in his lap...
Yeah, then the whole study goes skew-whiff.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, he was a good man. Thank you for reminding me of those good days. Now, where will this next cheese take me? I'll just tell you what the airplane is.
I'm so nervous about where the next cheese will take you.
Hold on. Dubai.
Emirates.
Emirates, Dubai, London Heathrow.
Lovely.
I wish I'd upgraded, then I could have told you what they're eating in first class. But it won't be as good as what we're having down below.
They won't be having any roll rice up there.
Now, is this the one I have next?
Yes, please. That's the only other one.
Oh.
This is so lovely. You've got a really gorgeous garden.
This is a two-cheese show.
I've got a new question you're getting inspired by that I'm asking everybody.
Do I take the rind off this?
I would, yeah. I did with mine. It just looked a bit too much like actual rolled. I preferred this one, by the way. I think it looked innocuous, but actually it's really... But it doesn't... And it smells, but it doesn't stink, you know? You wouldn't be like, oh, well, I can't take that in the car.
It's milder, it's smoother.
Mm, it's creamy.
It's creamy, it's softer to the taste.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this is...
Much more innocent memories coming back from this one.
Not necessarily.
No.
Can I tell you?
Yes,
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Those were the days.
Are you a fussy eater and do you cook? That's two completely different questions, but I want to know both things.
I used to be. I went through a phase of being very interested in food. I had a best friend from school, an actor, who I met when I was 15, he was 13, and he became quite well known. He was called Simon Cadell.
Uh-huh.
And your older listeners will remember him from a television series called Heidi High.
Oh, wow.
And he was he played the man who ran the sort of fellow who was the manager of the camp. But he was a marvelous actor and a delightful person. And we were at school together and he was my best friend until he died aged only 46.
Oh, wow.
Now, Simon was a great gourmet and a great gourmand and a great wine lover.
Not professionally, just for hobbyists.
Yes. Even at 13, I cast him in the school play as Sherlock Holmes. I'd written the play myself, based on Sherlock Holmes' short story by Arthur Conan Doyle, and I cast this boy, aged 13. He could smoke a pipe. I mean, he could blow rings through his nose with the smoke.
Whoa.
He could tell, you know, a Chablis from a Sancerre at 10 paces, aged 13.
Wow.
He knew about wine, women, and song, and he sang very well. And through my friendship with him, he and his wife, and me and my wife, we often went on holiday together, and we would go to those restaurants that existed in the 70s and 80s in the south of France, where you had menu gourmand, literally 17 courses.
Oh my, please, I've heard about this.
And sort of a different wine.
So it's a full day trip, isn't it, really? You're going to really be rolling right out of there. You're going to be crawling.
And I remember once, he was such a connoisseur, I did a gig for Air France, this is in the 1970s, and in return for doing this gig for Air France, I was paid in kind, okay? In the sense that I got
loads of flights.
Some trips. Yeah. And at the end of it, all declared, but at the end of it, there was some money left over. I hadn't taken up the full amount. in kind, and there was about £350 left over. This is in the 1970s.
Yeah, that's late.
So, exactly. So I said to Sam, what should we do? He said, well, I think there's a hotel in Piccadilly, which is owned by Air France. Let's go to that hotel. They've got a rather an interesting restaurant there. So we went, our wives and us, in the 1970s. Oh, this is some people coming into the garden.
Oh,
this is some of my grandchildren.
Hello.
This is Jess.
Nice to meet you. I'm Jess.
Jess is a distinguished stand-up comedian.
I'm not distinguished, but
and she, we're doing a podcast together. These are two of my grandsons. They're coming to have a swimming lesson.
Oh, lovely. Enjoy.
So
just about warm enough.
Sweet past.
Head out to the pool.
You head to the pool. And they will get magnums as a reward afterwards.
Oh, get in.
Or possibly a bit of cheese.
Yeah, a bit of cheese and biscuits if they like.
The point of the story is we went to this hotel, the Meridian, in Piccadilly. We went in. There was a rather nice modern restaurant. Sam didn't want to go there. He wanted to go to the Oak Beamed restaurant, where there were ludicrous people, very formally dressed.
Right.
White tie, tail coats. Enormous menus came that sort of fell over your face. He basically ordered all the most expensive things on the menu, starting with a pâté de foie gras, and then a little, to clean the palate, a little bit of caviar, and then before
Henry VIII's
we tucked into
the
pheasant, and then a little turbot before the steaks. I mean, it couldn't have been more ridiculous, with different wines. And the wine list was magnificent. But he called for the sommelier and said to him, oh, sommelier, am I right? I think this used to be a British Railways hotel before Air France bought it. And the sommelier said, yes. He said, now, I know British Railways. It's a very fine cellar. People don't realise that. And I suspect in your cellar you've got some rather interesting wines. Would you, sommelier, go down into that cellar and bring up just a couple of bottles for Mr. Brandreth and me to enjoy of what you think might be your finest wines? So the long and short of it is that we had those finest wines, and the bill came, and we had £350 to spend, which was literally thousands by today's standards.
Yeah.
And on top of that, we had to spend another £250.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it was weeks before either of our wives could do it.
That's an amazing story.
But in those days, when Simon was around, I used to enjoy.
Yeah.
Well, the fun went out of it rather.
Right.
And so I went on eating and drinking.
Obviously.
Yeah. It wasn't the same sort of party at
right.
in those days.
Yeah,
we used
yeah,
to go
yeah.
to, you know, we knew, for example, you know, Les Quatre Saisons, the Raymond Blanc restaurant
near,
in Oxfordshire. Well, Raymond Blanc, great and distinguished chef, he was a waiter at a restaurant in Oxford called the Sorbonne when we were students.
Wow.
And so we used to go to his great restaurants when he started them up. So we went to Quatre Saisons when he started up. So we'd go to these very grand restaurants and eat in high style, eat fabulously, and become quite corpulent. And Simon wouldn't just drink wines with every course. He would taste them and savour them. He talked me out of... And then he wouldn't spit any of that. That's a waste. He would drink it all. But if he opened a bottle, he would either finish it or throw it away. He wouldn't drink it the next day. And also, at the end of the meal, the brandies, the poires.
Oh, my God. I think I'd have... Yeah.
All of that.
I've never made it that far.
Yeah. Anyway, the long and the short of it was that he died. And I slightly lost interest in the food. And then I gave up the drink totally.
Completely?
So I haven't had a drink in 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So I don't drink alcohol. And now my signature dish is probably baked beans on toast.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I'm on the low-carb diet at the moment.
Oh, right. Yeah, I saw this on Twitter, Charles.
There's
I'm
no
interested.
Toast.
Oh, and so you just happen to have a little plate of beans.
Well, even better. It's got better. Because the heated beans is almost banal.
Yeah.
Cold beans, there's a kind of... Something about a cold plate of baked beans. Even more exciting. Why bother with the plate?
Oh no, straight from the tin.
Straight from the tin.
Oh, I did not
cold
expect this.
Baked
We've
beans,
just gone from 17
straight,
course,
yeah.
thousands of pounds on one meal,
yeah.
to discovering that you eat beans cold from the tin.
And can I say...
What an absolute curveball from Brandreth there.
The charge, the... culinary charge from the cold baked beans is as great as that from eating in some of the finest restaurants in the world.
Well, there we go.
And I have dined in most of the finest restaurants in the world in my time, but now I don't.
Amazing. Amazing to know you can get your kicks from eating incredible things. It's not all about splashing the cash, is it?
No.
Fantastic.
I'm in my tongue.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I've decided, actually, I'm not interested in the new normal. I want the old normal.
You're going to go back to the old normal, all the running around.
I mean,
I don't miss the travelling, but I do miss the kind of like dotting about.
I don't miss, and I am trying. In fact, that's the reason I got the tricycle.
Yeah.
Because I thought, do I want to go on public transport?
No, you want to tricycle everywhere.
Well, because it isn't much fun.
I can see you on an electric scooter.
I've got, well, never mind the scooter. I thought the tricycle would be good exercise, and it is, because it's a sit-up tricycle, so it's good for the posture.
Right.
It's good for the thighs.
Excellent. I like the way you said thighs. Thighs.
And because it's a tricycle, people give you space.
Right.
And I very sensibly, I had a very
They think you're a lunatic.
Well, there is an element of that. Because my friend Maureen Lipman has knitted me a sort of cap to go over my helmet. So I've got this blue
helmet. Like you've got a tea cosy on your helmet, child. Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so lovely.
I'm going around on this. And people do steer clear.
Yeah.
Partly because I'm not very quick.
You're trouble. You're trouble.
And because I take the lane. I've been told that's what you can do. Take the lane.
Take the lane. Hold the lane.
I hold the lane. So I'm in secondary position till I need to be in primary position. And then I take the lane. And I've been all the way from here when I am in South London. Thank you for coming this far.
Pleasure.
I've been all the way to Sloane Square so far.
Wow.
Over Putney Bridge, along Westminster, along the embankment.
Wow.
Up through. I went to pay pilgrimage to. I'm the president of the Oscar Wilde Society. So I thought on my first outing on my tricycle, I should go by Oscar Wilde's house in Tite Street, London.
Amazing.
So I did. And I thought Oscar would have been amused. The idea.
Lovely.
One of his.
You're not a bit scared, though, now that the roads are heaving again?
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel the fear, but I do it anyway. I wear a helmet and I wear a high-vis jacket.
Okay.
And most of London now is supposed to be 20 miles an hour.
Yeah.
If only it really were. There are a lot of good cycle routes, if
That's
you can
true.
Take them. And frankly, what is more risky? You know, the roads or being crammed up against heavy-breathing people on the Hammersmith and City line.
It's absolutely spot on.
So I'm giving it a go.
Okay, I love it.
Delicious.
Fish fingers I'm very keen on, too.
Fish fingers are
fish
great.
Fish fingers, veggie fingers, I like that. Marmite and tomato sandwiches are my absolute favourite.
God, that's an interesting combination.
Well, it's a childhood one.
Is there any, are there any foods that you hate that most people love?
I hate dates.
That's the
such a random choice. They do. They're a bit gravelly, aren't they?
They are revolting. I went to
a strong reaction.
A French school in London, which was then called the Lycée Français de Londres, is now called the Lycée Français Charles de Gaulle in South Kensington. And on Wednesday, we had dates for lunch. On Thursday, we had horse. I didn't mind the horse at all. It's rather pleasant. The horse was tasty. Dates were revolting. But I starched the dates because they came in a kind of raffia box shaped like a very small coffin. And if you collected enough labels, you could send them off to someone in Paris. And they would then send you a képi, a kind of hat, worn by people in the French Foreign Legion.
Right.
It's made of plastic. And I wanted one of these hats. So in order to collect enough coupons to get the hat, I ate the dates. They were revolting. They would make me wretch.
Oh.
So I hate dates. That's about the only thing I really hate. But I'm not... my comfort food is marmite and tomato sandwiches.
Lovely.
When I was a little boy...
That's a powerful flavour for a comfort food. Often people choose quite...
bland foods.
Yeah, beige, kind of lots of umami, whereas you've gone for quite sharp, salty...
It's entirely to do with my mother.
Yeah.
Who put on... Take some bread, put on some butter on both sides.
Mm.
Put on some marmite, quite nicely spread, and then very thinly sliced tomato... Press the bread really down. Cut off the crusts.
Okay.
Cut it into four, but in triangles.
Oh, very nice.
And this, when I was sort of three or four or five, this was my tea.
That's
with a drink
lovely.
Called Nesquik, which I think they still make.
They make Nesquik, yeah.
Yeah, they still have. I never liked the banana one. The strawberry one, chocolate Nesquik. So cold chocolate Nesquik. And so...
That's great.
That's really all I want.
I had an Austrian grandmother, and that side of my family all are big into having a cold tomato cut in half with a sprinkle of a really good salt on top.
Oh, yeah.
And it feels like this
probably
similar.
Tomato always needs a little salt. That's what I'm having often for breakfast now.
Yeah,
tomato with a little salt, avocado.
Hard-boiled egg.
And a hard-boiled egg with a salt.
Such a good thing together, hard-boiled egg and tomato with a bit of salt.
Do you know?
Over lockdown, I got given some fancy salts. And then hard-boiled egg with a bit of smoked salt is really sexy.
What more could one want?
Not a lot, actually. These are great things and delicious foods. I am very aware of taking up lots of your time.
Haven't we covered? We've got 20 minutes before I need to go to my ex-call. What do we normally cover?
Well, I have
set questions. Do you have some set questions?
Yes. A 5-second rule, yes or no?
What?
5-second rule. Do you even know what it is?
No.
No, well, there we go then. There's like a rule in lots of people's minds where if something's dropped on the floor, if it's within 5 seconds, you can still eat it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. You into that?
Oh, my mother used to say, a peck of dirt before you die.
Oh, perfect. That's a nice phrase, yeah.
Meaning that actually, you will peck is quite a lot,
yes.
So you can afford to eat quite a lot. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Curiously, often things I think that have hit the floor briefly are tastier.
It's rare that people say that. Do you think they've picked up a bit of extra texture?
Sorry,
a delicious crumb.
That's a bit like talking dirty, isn't it? But I do rather feel that. It's sort of had a life. It's like I love leftovers. I love things the day after, the day before. Often things trade. I mean, bread and butter pudding always tastes better on the second day.
Yeah.
My granddaughter you saw going past a moment ago, Isolde. She made she makes wonderful. She's a great baker. And she made some marvellous cakes for her brother's 16th birthday. But she made those amazing scones. But they were better on the second and third day.
Mm.
They'd sort of
That's a testament to a well-made scone, isn't it?
I like stuff.
Mine's when I make scones, they start tough and they get tougher and tougher as the days go on.
So
but that's true. Definitely anything with spice.
So 5-second rule, yes.
Yes, okay.
Actually, it depends where you are. that certainly would be true in my kitchen, my home, or your home.
Yeah.
If you're with a friend, it's fine.
Yeah.
If, you know, you're on the railway train.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's where I draw the line with my kid, actually.
I don't think I'd...
I let him eat things off the floor once in the cinema. Is that bad?
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, okay, I'll stop
I wouldn't
doing that.
Do that. But you know, cinemas are so much cleaner than they used to be. When I first went to the cinema, people find this hard to believe, there was smoking in the cinema.
I remember that. Well, and I don't remember doing it, but I know where I'm from in Dorset, Wareham, there's a little cinema called the Rex. And it was one of the last cinemas left in the country with smoking.
I know the Rex.
Do you know the Rex in Wareham?
I used to go to Wareham because I have a teddy bear collection.
Oh, and there's a museum.
And there's the Wareham Bears. Beautiful.
Wareham Bears.
And I used to go there, and my wife and I had a teddy bear collection museum in Stratford-upon-Avon, and now our teddy bear collection lives up in North Yorkshire, near Ripon, at Newby Hall, where our teddy bears live entirely on honey sandwiches. It's a stately home, so you expect them to be properly looked after.
Aww.
But in the cinema when I was a boy, there was smoking on the right-hand side of the cinema.
Right.
No smoking on the left. So the films I went to see with my mum, things that, like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers film, I saw them all beautifully, clearly. The films I went to see with my dad, which were sort of James Cagney kind of gangster movies, we sat on the right-hand side, and I never saw any of those properly, because it was through a haze, a mist of smoke.
It would be even worse now with vape dust everywhere.
Do they allow vape in cinemas?
No. People do sneakily do it. You can tell, because this plume goes up.
Oh.
I don't know.
I love the cinema. I've got a lovely cinema locally. But all this eating and drinking in the cinema, the sluicing and the slapping.
It depends. I'm not particularly fussed, but I think it's part of the ritual, I think, for a lot of people to have popcorn or something in there. It depends whether it's loud. I don't know that you should be allowed anything in a crinkly bag. I'm way fussier about it in a theatre. I think at least the film's been made, and you're not going to be putting any performers off. Just the other people watching it. In the theatre, I mean, some of the stories I've heard from theatre actors are the things that people have been eating in the front row. And I went once to some other friend, and she opened a Tupperware and she bought carrots and hummus, and it was the crunchiest homemade hummus that stank of garlic. And then these crunchy carrots, all of us were like, oh, put it away! And she did, but oh, it's madness, isn't it? And,
I worked many years ago with a comedian called Bernard Manning.
Have
you heard of him?
Yes, I have heard of Bernard Manning. Famous for some...
He was not ideal. He was hilariously funny, but his material was totally unacceptable.
Yeah.
It was unacceptable even in his day.
Yeah. But that was sort of the point then, wasn't it?
It was the point. What was interesting about it was that he was genuinely funny.
Yeah.
So he didn't actually. He would have been funny anyway.
Oh, I think most comedians to this day will say that it's structurally and in an incredibly talented, charismatic, great writer. Just horrible opinions.
He was hugely fat, and he drank and smoked. And anyway, I was a kind of support act to him in his club up in Manchester, and I was in my early 20s, and I shared the dressing room with the stripper.
God.
Who I thought was old enough to be my mum. I realise now she was only about 36.
Yeah.
And he never came backstage. He waited outside in his white Rolls Royce. And when he came onto the stage, he had his own sound system, which was much better than ours. So he always went. But the point is, at the club, people were eating.
Oh.
Always. It was, you know, soup in a basket.
Yes.
Well, chicken in a basket. And
soup in a basket is going to be a disaster. But yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That carried on right into the 90s,
so
there were pint pots.
It was mostly beer and spirits. But he taught me a lot.
Yeah.
But it was very difficult carrying on through the people eating, burping, slurping.
Oh, it's so grim. There's a lovely comedy club, tiny one in Bracknell called the Comedy Cellar, where behind the bar they don't even sell crisps. That's like the most sort of comedy, like sweet comedy. If there's no other choice, would you eat a person?
It depends, of course, who.
An enemy.
Oh no. There was a treat today. Let's see if I can get it. It's so sweet. Hold on. I am what I eat. I eat what I am. I start with my toes covered in jam. And I'm working up on that about hips rhyming with chips.
Okay.
And knees with cheese. So you mean in a serious way?
Oh, well, I mean, I've left the question vague so that you can take it wherever you want. It tickles me mainly when people go, yes, I would, yeah. They're just very sure about it in a situation where you're starving. I mean, I don't know. And I think a lot of people say I'd do it, but I don't think I could kill them. But if someone had died and there was nothing, like nothing, and someone else had cooked it. I think, actually, the vast majority of people, if you were really starving.
Of course you would.
And someone had cooked nicely. I mean, I just don't know how you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You'd be so compelled to, every fibre in you, to survive. But I don't know. I mean, obviously, the idea of it's disgusting is why it's a fun question.
I'm essentially a veggie.
All right, yeah. Me too, and, essentially.
You know, I do occasionally eat fish. And I became a veggie properly a few years ago when I was in India and went to the place where Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated. And there's a little museum there. And I went around, there was a picture of him and a little thing about him being a vegetarian. And it said underneath a line from him saying that he couldn't really eat any creature where he could look into their eyes.
Mm.
So I came to think, I can't eat anything that's got eyes. I can't. So my friend Simon said, well, you can eat scallops then, can't you? They've got eyes. And potatoes, they've got eyes. Can't eat them. I don't know.
I know some vegans who still eat bivalves. Because it's kind of got less going on intellectually than some plants.
That's snobbery of that.
Oh, no, I think that's... I think it's to do with...
Oh, intellectually. So you can eat creatures if they're stupid. I don't like that at all.
Oh, well, that's why lots of people don't eat pigs, because they're so clever. Don't you?
Oh. Well, you're right about the plants, because I'm with Prince Charles on that. I think I do talk to them.
Talk to them, sing to them, give them a cuddle. Why not? I tell you what, we've had to get our cuddles wherever we could take them during the last few months, haven't we? We wouldn't have been the only ones chatting up our plants, Charles.
Well, I have to say, with my grandchildren, and you've met some of them.
Yes. They're having a swimming lesson.
We were having lockdown, they would come by the house. We couldn't see them, of course. We'd be away from them in the window. And we began throwing magnums at them. And the other day...
Throwing magnums at them.
When we thought that maybe a cuddle was allowed, my wife said, we're soon going to be able to have a cuddle. And the four-year-old said, we don't want a cuddle, we want a magnum.
That sounds about right.
So that's, I think, what the future's going to be. No more cuddles.
We don't want a cuddle, we want a magnum. All flowers and all trousers in the whole world vanish. It's pandemonium. Initially, people are sort of amused by it. Obviously, there's quite a lot of giggling, but actually people's legs get really cold. And then the flowers mean that the bees start dying and actually the ecosystem starts caving in and actually looks like a really nasty kind of apocalypse. Luckily, the magician that's vanished them has agreed to undo this horrible spell, but only if you, and really it does have to be you, Charles, do a four-day swimming lesson without any breaks. It sounds impossible, but you do it! Your reward is, you go down in history as the man who saved all of humanity with this great physical feat, but your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind you are happy as you could possibly be because you had this heroic moment, and you are so hungry because you've just done days of movement, is a feast of your dreams. And it can be entirely fantastical. Nothing has to... I don't care about ethics, health, consequences. I want to know if you're in the happiest, hungriest situation, the opposite of a last meal, what would be your dream thing to eat and to drink? And if there's a who, with and where, then who, with and
where? Gosh. So this is fantasy corner. And I've already mentioned my Marmite and tomato sandwiches, so I shall push them aside. If I could have any food, and bear in mind I'm currently on a low-carb diet, I'd abandon the diet.
Yeah, I hope you would. It's a fantasy.
I would get some really lovely crusty bread. I would toast it, so it was a little bit too toasted. The touch of burnt about it. I would get some bright yellow butter, that's real butter.
Yeah.
I'd be a bit too generous with that. I would then peel a banana.
Oh, here we go.
And I would chop the banana into little rings.
Right.
And I would place the banana carefully over the toast. And then with my knife, I would squash the banana so that it became, the little circles of banana came intermeshed. I would then cut the banana into the piece of toast into about 8 separate pieces.
Right.
So they're little squares.
Okay.
And I would share them with my given that we're playing the fantasy game, it's a mermaid. Because when you get to my age, you want to be sure that safe sex is all that's on offer.
Oh, God!
So, and we would feed each other.
Bits of mushed up banana on burnt toast with too much butter.
Yeah. And then, of course...
Mad as a bag of dicks, Charles Brandreth.
What do you think of that?
It's really great. Great is answer. That, no one's ever said with a mermaid before.
No, really?
Yeah, no, it's perfect. Thank you so much for doing this.
Not at all.
What a gorgeous guest Giles was. Oof! I'm very fond of that dear, kind, funny chap. If you're not already following him on Twitter, his handle is at Giles, GYLESB1, Bravo 1. You must start following him because all throughout the whole of this pandemic, actually, he's been wearing a different jazzy jumper that he used to wear on Countdown every day, reading or remembering a different poem just for Twitter. Oh, it's the stuff of dreams. Also, he has an amazing podcast, which has recently won a big award, I think. It's called Something Rhymes with Purple. It's with the amazing Susie Dent. And it's all about words, so it's right up my strata. Check that out. Also, we met because we did a QI together. So that's on iPlayer at the moment. One of the, I think, at the time of recording this, the most recent episode, it's on Revolutions, I think, our episode. That's on iPlayer. And he's on Celebrity Gogglebox on Channel 4 at the moment too, being very funny. Thanks for listening to Hoovering. Tell every other bastard about it, if you will. Give it 5 stars everywhere. Give it lovely reviews. I think spare money-wise, main thing, just give it to food banks. And if that leaves you a spare 5 or 6 quid, please, can you come and join us to do a Hoovering Live? It's in 2 nights' time if you're listening to this as it comes out. Sunday the 19th of July, 8 p.m. UK time. There, it's virtual. You can all come safely. There are ticket links in the podcast notes, all over my social media. The guests are insanely good. Make sure you're following at the Hoovering Pod everywhere on the socials to find out who's on, etc., etc., etc. And also how you can maybe do some cooking along with me and the guests as part of the show. Alternatively, for tickets, just go to showandtelluk.com and search the events for Hoovering. All this information is all over my social media as well, or if you want to follow me generally, I am at Jessica Fosterkew. Anything longer than a tweet to tell me, you can email through my website, jessicafosterkew.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy Hoovering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.